Good morning and welcome to Manna on Mondays. I'm Pastor Ron here at Lighthouse and thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to join us. And we are going to continue on with our parallel study, which is Proverbs chapter 29 and the book of James. And so before we jump into that, we need to pray. So let's ask for the Lord's blessing and guidance. Father, there is no greater love than knowing the love that you have for us, to know that your love is the love that draws us because we long to be cared for. We long to matter. And Lord, the truth of the matter is you tell us that we matter to you. That's the heart that we want, is yours. That's the approval that we need, is yours. But Lord, we can't gain it on our own. You say, come follow me and I will. You fill in that blank. You do a work that man can't do in and of himself. We simply must surrender. And so surrender we will. Lord, I pray for your will to be done in our lives, for you have our best interests in mind and in your heart. And you are good and you are wise and you are righteous and holy and gracious, and merciful, and just. You're all these things and so much more. And so we ask you, O God, to bless our time now. In your name we pray. Amen. Please forgive me. I do forget that there's somebody else other than me spending time with the Lord. I so enjoy my time with him and just thinking about him and the things that he does and the treasure of my relationship with him. And so I hope that you treasure your relationship with him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, I hope that you find that relationship, because it's only a doorway away. And all you have to do is open it up and invite him in. Hey, so we're looking at Proverbs chapter 29 and James. Uniquely, they parallel. They match. It's like, here's Proverbs and here's James. James is not afraid to speak the truth in love. You have to remember that even though he has to say some hard things, he doesn't do it out of malice. That's where the difference is it's done out of love. It's for our best interests. And so too does Solomon in Proverbs chapter 29. He's speaking the truth in love. So let's take a look. We're going to start in Proverbs 29, we were in James last week. We're going to try to bounce back and forth today, have a little tennis match going on. Let's see how far we can get. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So the proverb is pretty clear that just says, man, there's a person who continually is resistant to going the direction that they've been given, and so then they get reproved, they get corrected, and so what's their response? The response is, it's a stiff neck, you know, it's like, oh, I'm hearing you, but I'm not going to follow you, and it's a warning then. It says, we'll suddenly be broken beyond healing. Whoa, it's like you snap, there's no coming back. And so in James chapter 4, James gets right to the point. He says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So you're actually, if you're stiff-necked, if you're resisting the things that your authority in life is speaking to you, if you're resisting the things that God is speaking to you about, there's going to come travesty. But there's a road, and this is the thing about it with God. There's always a road. There's always the exit that we can take off of that broad road that leads to destruction. We can take the narrow road that leads to life, and that narrow road is Jesus. But it says, but gives grace to the humble. You see, when we humble ourselves, when we surrender, when we receive the correction, knowing that maybe I don't like it at the moment, but to those who are trained by it, it yields fruitful righteousness. That's what it says in
in Hebrews 4, it says that it says, but God, he disciplines those whom he loves. And so it's a love action. It's not malice. It's not anger. It's not hatred. No, it's love. But God disciplines in ways that bring us to a place of correction through conviction. And so that's those that are trained by it, that it may yield fruitful righteousness. Not just righteousness, but a righteousness that has influence and benefit, both for your own life, but also for the lives of others. And so even in James chapter 1, it says this, "For the anger of man," this is in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20, "for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." James says then, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Oh, there's a plan that God has for us. One, it's we have to choose to put away those things that stiffen our necks. And we have to receive with meekness. That I'm willing to be still and to listen and to hear and then respond. It says, receive with meekness the implanted word. It's God wants to put his word in your heart and through your mind, which is able to save your souls. It's like, man, I want to listen to God. It says this in verse 19. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." So it's a term of endearment. It says, not just, "Hey, you, listen up." No, it's, "I love you, I care for you. And to every person, be quick to hear." Oh, I love the next part. "Be slow to speak." You know, just shut this. You know, this gets us in a lot of trouble, right? And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks here. But it's like, just be quiet. Just be still. Listen. Be slow to anger. That precedes... "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." No, it's being quick to listen and slow to speak and receiving with meekness the truth of God's word to allow it to save our souls, to rescue us. And so back in Proverbs 29:2, it says, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan." So James, verse 12, says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." Trial is, man, when we're dealing with difficult situations, and it's like, how do I respond to these things? Not temptation. We talked about that last week. Temptation is the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life that lead me to wrong decisions of sin. But trials, it's like, man, I need to know the right way to go. And it says, "Blessed is the one who finds favor with God, remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test," meaning I'm staying the course, Lord, I'm continuing to trust you, I'm listening, I'm being slow to speak, slow to hear, or quick to hear, excuse me, and slow to anger. And what do you receive when you do through that? He says, he stood the test of time, and he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. You see, we receive salvation. We receive the crown of life. But if we resist and we fight, then it's more like what is James writes about in James 5:4. It says, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fatted your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Oh, that my trust is not in even how I'm treated. And even if I'm treating others wrong, then I can change. And that change is always this same road, the same exit, is the exit of humility. It says, turn, know that there is the coming of the Lord. And the reality is he who loves wisdom makes his father glad. Huh. Yes, earthly fathers, but our Heavenly Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and bring joy to Him, is the one who it says is the one who loves wisdom, the wisdom of the Word. So bless you. Thank you for joining me, and we're going to pick back up next week in Proverbs chapter 29.